All right, well, welcome. Good afternoon, everyone. As been mentioned a few times already, my name is René. Today we're going to be covering 1 John 5, 4 through 13. I'm going to be setting it a little bit different. I'm going to take you guys on a little role-playing game. I love Dungeons and Dragons, the Christian version, but there's a lot of feedback. I like setting a scene, so we're going to be pretending we're in a courtroom today. You guys are going to be the jury. I'm going to be presenting a case to you guys, the case of eternal life. And I'd love you guys to pay attention, and at the end of it, I'll ask some questions to you guys. I'm going to start with praying, because I think that's the best place to start. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity you've given me. I pray that my words are sweet fragrance to you, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit works through me and pours out into your sheep, your shepherd, your flock, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen. So a lot of times in a court case, there's going to be opening statement, there's going to be witnesses. Thank you. I have water here already. And you have opening statements, you have witnesses, there's evidence that comes, and then at the end, there's going to be a verdict and final statements as well. My opening statement here, it starts in verse 3 already. Praise mentioned it 2 weeks ago about that the true love of God is this, that we keep his commands and remain focused on his commandments, and that's these aren't difficult to keep, right? It's not difficult to keep his commands. John here is saying that the people that overcome this, we are able to overcome the difficulties of keeping his commands because it is not, we're not fighting against our nature, essentially. We have been given a new nature. We've been given a new identity, and it's more about learning how we live more like this new nature and not just ignoring this old self. John says that it is the believers, the people that have faith in Christ, that are able to do this. So if you don't have faith in Christ, this is not going to be applicable to you at the moment. Of course, you're allowed to listen to this as we go along. We are able to do this because Jesus was able to overcome the world. And God has given us the same ability in our salvation to do this. In Romans 8:37, it says, "We are more than conquerors through him who loves us." Now, a lot of times we use this verse in sporting stuff, but really this verse, if you look at the context of this verse, it starts actually in Romans 8, where Paul was talking about a struggle within himself, right? There's the old self and a new self, and they're kind of at war at each other. And then he says, "Who's going to save me from this body of death?" And then he says, "Thank God that Jesus has come." And then Romans 8 is kind of, it continues on about this, that we are able to overcome the old ways, our old self, because of this new identity, of this new life that God has given us. Now, I'm going to call some witnesses forward. The witnesses are water, blood, and the spirits. The first one here in John, verse 6 is water. The water here is referring to the baptism of Jesus. At the start of Jesus' ministry, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. During this time, John the Baptist was going around teaching about the coming kingdom and the need for repentance. And people were baptizing themselves, saying that they were repenting, that they were accepting this message. And then Jesus showed up, and he baptized himself as well. This wasn't him declaring, "I too am repenting for my sins." No, this is him identifying with us, humanity, the need for a Savior. Matthew 3, 7 is talking about this. A pigeon comes down, a dove comes down, and the voice of God is heard. It says, "This is my Son, in whom I am pleased." The second witness is the blood. This is referring to the crucifixion, the blood of Jesus that's poured out on this day. This is proof that he died and that he rose again. This blood was necessary for our atonement. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There are a lot of... these two witnesses here point two things out to us. Jesus was man, he was human at the start of his ministry, and he died. There are a lot of different views and beliefs that kind of try to change the way that Jesus is portrayed. They try to change some of these things because they don't feel comfortable with it. The one that we believe, also as Crossway Church, is that Jesus was fully God and fully man. He died and rose again, and he is the only way to salvation. Islam would teach that Jesus was not God, but that he was a prophet. They say that Jesus didn't actually die. Someone else died in his place that just looked like him. Some say it was Judas. But essentially, Allah raptured him up away from the cross, and he didn't die. Because for them, of course, it's impossible for this to happen. They also say that he wasn't a savior. He wasn't the Messiah. Rather, it is through works and the grace of Allah that you are saved. So as you see, these three points, they've changed them already. The Gnostic believers during this time were teaching that Jesus was a teacher, that he wasn't God, that it was a spiritual resurrection, it wasn't a physical one, because for them they believed that the body was bad and the spirit was good. So Jesus to be resurrected as a body again was gross. Even nowadays within Christianity, the progressive Christians will also teach things like that Jesus was a good teacher, that he was an example, a guru. They would also struggle to say that we are sinners and that we are lost and that we need a savior. They will say that we are good internally, and that's through different ways we can obtain salvation as well. Jesus wasn't exactly who he was the same then as he is now, right? When they read the scripture, they're like, oh, well, that was the culture then. You know, they'll try to change Jesus' words. They'll try to change how Jesus was portrayed to fit the current narrative or the current day, safe words. Now, all of these, you can see they're slightly changing. So the evidence that I have or the case that I'm making for the Jesus that I'm talking about is the one that we preach here every single Sunday. And it is important to know the difference between those. So when someone comes with fake evidence to you, you're able to reject it. As a jury, it's important to be able to identify when someone's lying to you. Now, you might be thinking, water, blood, okay, but these aren't really people, right? These aren't, can they really be witnesses? And you have a point there. So I have a third witness here. Now, we as humans, we believe other humans' testimonies at times, right? We believe flawed humans' testimonies. If I come here saying some outlandish story, like, you know, I rode here on the back of a unicorn, you know, some of you older people may start saying something like, cease with this foolish speak that you are doing. The younger people might say, stop the cab. So instead of having a human witness, John presents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is God, he is presented as a witness. The Holy Spirit was there for both the previously mentioned events, right? He was there for the baptism. Jesus was the dove that descended onto the shoulder of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was the person that raised Jesus from the dead. We read about this in Romans 8:11 that says, the Spirit of God, who rose Jesus from the dead, lives in you. So this Spirit is a very good witness for the events that happened, right? Because he actively partook in both of them. He wasn't just a casual bystander. The ministry of Jesus, of the Spirit, was to testify about Jesus. In John 15:26, it says, when the Helper comes, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, again, makes him a very good witness. He will testify and bear witness about me. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit confirms that with our spirits that we are God's children. Which actually leads me to the last witness that I'm going to present. This witness is you. You, the jury, are witnesses of Jesus, of who he is. The changes that happened within you when you accepted Jesus into your life are proof that Jesus is alive and that he is God, because he is able to transform you in ways that no one else could ever do. And I'm not talking about like an outward change, an outward transformation, right? Because we can fake that. We can come to church on Sunday. We can say God bless you when we say goodbye to people. We say God bless you in many ways. We can pray for people even. But this is all stuff that can be faked. What I'm talking about here, about the changes that the Holy Spirit does that proves that Jesus is God, is the changes that happen inside of you. Over your time, you change. You become a new person, right? You're being renewed in your mind. This is different from other religions, right? Because a lot of religions, when you become saved, they throw you a stack of books and laws that you have to do, right? You become a Muslim, you start having to pray, you start fasting, you start doing this. The women have to start wearing clothes, stop going to school in some countries. But that's not the case for in Christianity. In Christianity, the change is what happens within us. And it's evidence for you, right? Because you can't prove to someone the changes that are happening within you. It's for you to know and for you to have assurance that Jesus is within you. To reject the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, of the things that he's done in your life, or well, in other lives, and in Jesus' ministry, is to call God a liar. It is the unforgivable sin. They often call it the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to reject the work of the Holy Spirit and credit it to the devil or to other things. It's unforgivable because it shows that you're not repentant, right? You can't save someone that's not wanting to be saved. Now, those are the witnesses. They all are in agreement, as John says here. They all are perfectly in line in what they are saying, that Jesus is God. And then in verse 11, John presents the testimony. That is this, that God has given us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Now, up till, I think, a couple days ago, I had a belief about what eternal life meant, and I don't want to call anyone out, so I won't mention the person by name, but just a couple minutes ago, someone was saying that the moment that someone dies, you enter into eternal life. However, here, what it's saying is, God has given us eternal life. It is a completed thing. The moment that you become saved, the point of salvation, you already enter into the eternal life. You already received the gift. And this is a very important point, because oftentimes in our lives, we might think, oh, what if I lose my salvation? You know, what if I didn't actually get it? Or we then think that we have to keep up a certain performance, a certain lifestyle to keep this salvation. We kind of slip into a work-based thing sometimes, right? It's like, okay, God saved me, but now I have to keep it, which is often what Catholics believe. But here he's saying we've already received this. It can't be taken away from you, because you're already living the eternal life, and it would be ungodlike for God to give you something freely as a gift and then take it away from you. So, but there is a condition to it, is that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe in the gospel. If you believe in it, you have eternal life. If you don't believe in it, you don't have eternal life. So I all know the phrase, no woman, no cry. I say, no Jesus, no life. In John 10:28, Jesus says, and I give them eternal life, that they will never, ever perish, and no one will ever snatch them away from God's hands. It is showing a thing that's already being completed, and that you can kind of have a moment like, okay, Salvation has been sorted. Eternal life is in their pockets. So now what? So as I said, you guys are a witness in this case, but at the same time, you guys, I'm going to cross-examine you as well to make sure that you guys are a good witness. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says, "Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine." So there's a list here of questions that you can ask yourself. Again, these aren't, you know, have I donated to church this month? Have I prayed 14 times? These are points that you can ask yourself about what is happening within you. Do you enjoy fellowship with believers? Do you look forward to seeing your brothers and sisters in Christ? Or is it every single time an obligation and a struggle to go do that? Are you growing more sensitive to sin? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you more and more about sins that are in your life? Are you seeing this happening to you? Do you sin less? Do you mature in Christ? Are you maturing? If you have questions about what this process of maturity is like, I spoke about it a couple weeks ago, so you can always check that out again on YouTube. But there should be a progression in your faith, right? You should be growing. You should go from a baby to a toddler, to a child, to a teen, to an adult, to a mature adult. Do you love the world? Are you struggling with your faith because you're still wanting to do the things that the world has to offer? Yes, I go to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week I love gossiping about every single person that I know. I gossip about colleagues. I skip out on work at sometimes. I cheat on my tests at school. I use ChatGPT to solve all my problems. And then put my name at the bottom of the paper. Are you eagerly awaiting for Jesus' return? Are you longing for him to come and deliver you from this sinful world, the struggle that you have? Or are you like, you know, God, if you could just wait a year, then I can get married. A couple more years, and then I can have a child. Okay, no, wait, you know what? 18 years, and then I'll see my child getting older. Then you can come back. Or actually, wait another couple years, and I can have a grandchild. Okay, God, just come back when I'm dead, you know? Like, are you wanting to achieve the things of life, or are you longing to see him? Do you love the other believers? I mean, you can hang out with people. You can look forward to hang out with them, but do you love them? Last week, Praise talked about what is love and that it can hurt you, and how to live a life of love. Is this what you're doing? Is this what you're seeking? Do you see your prayers being answered? You know, if we pray to God as believers and we pray according to his will, the Bible says that he will answer us. It's not always a yes, but he does answer. This is going to be talked about next week, so I won't go too deep into that and spoil it. But these are questions that you can ask yourself. It doesn't have to all be right now. You don't have to come to me and tell me. But if you're like, actually, I haven't said yes to a single one of them, you know, I would recommend talking to one of the elders or someone that you know and trust. So that leads me to my closing statements. That's John wants us to know that we have eternal life. He says it in a way, he says here, so that you will know that you have eternal life. Now again, if this was a thing that's coming when we die, or we might lose at some point, why is John so confident in telling us that we have eternal life if we believe in Jesus? Now, this assurance, it's not a license to sin, right? It's not like, oh, I have the eternal life now. Time to go party in Berlin. No, that's what Romans 6 talks about. So if you want to get into a philosophical, I can't say that word. If you want to get into like a, you know, a conversation about that, read Romans 6. It goes all back and forth on, you know, if we have grace, why don't we sin? The assurance, the complete assurance of our salvation and eternal life should bring forth transformation. It should give us a safety net to experiment, to seek, to dig in ourselves and pull out those weeds. It should be, you know, I find out that I have been doing something wrong for a long time. I don't have to fear like, oh no, God's going to cast me out because I discovered that I actually wasn't perfect my whole life. That's not what you should be thinking. You should be confident that you have that salvation. So it's okay. It's okay to go to another believer and confess your sins. You saying, "Hey Franz, you know, I'm sorry. I was a jerk to my wife this week." Then he's not going to be saying like, "Hey man, you lost your salvation." No, because we have assurance of it already. Not that Franz would ever say that. Hopefully. So my plea for you is to work on your salvation with assurance, with boldness, and don't live in fear that punishment is coming to you because of something. You have to do this because overcomers don't live in defeat, right? If you are a victor, you don't live in defeat. If you are a saint, you don't live in sin. It's contrary to your identity. So with that, I will finally say, the evidence is clear, the witnesses have testified, the verdict has been given. Now the ball is in your court. Will you believe and be transformed, or will you call God a liar? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your gift of eternal life, Lord. I pray that we tap into that, Lord, that we approach situations boldly, approach confrontation, Lord. If we are being exposed, or if a sin in our life is being exposed, Lord, that we don't defend ourselves, that we don't try to hold on to our pride, but rather say, you know what, you're right. I am bad. I am wrong, Lord. And invite you into the situation to fix us, Lord, because you are there and you want to help us, Lord. You love your children. You care for us, Lord. And I thank you so much for this case that we have. I pray that we can go this week, Lord, with boldness in our step and see that our lives, that you are working in our lives, Lord, as evidence that Jesus is God, Lord, and that Jesus did conquer death and that Jesus did give us eternal life. Praise in your name. Amen.
Yeah, can you have a seat? It's going to be a few more minutes. We were expecting one of our missionaries to share in the service, and she had to face the collapse of German infrastructure here in Berlin. If you use a car, then you know about the situation here at Messe. It's just an absolute mess at Messe. So what we're looking forward to thoughts from Sarah here. She's the wife of Florian. We will say goodbye to our friends on the live stream. We will turn you off now. Have a great, blessed week, but it's more sensitive content, so we don't want to just blow it out into the public. But Sarah, if you would come up front and then share in a few minutes about your plans. They are about to move away from Berlin, but they will share what's going to happen next. Yeah, so when you read the name Florian and Sarah on the prayer guide, then you know the face now, at least of Sarah. But what a privilege to get access actually to countries probably in the next years that usually people wouldn't get access to. Let's maintain our prayers for them, to protect them, and that God may use them to reach these people groups. Maybe you have seen her husband or their children in the past, but please keep them in your prayers. Yeah, I want to also mention two more things. We have the last foundations class now after the service. We will talk about the church and the topic of the end times. So if you're interested, just get on board. Then we would meet really right 4:45 here in the classroom. You have to finish on time because there's also a Zoom meeting tonight in preparation for the business meeting next weekend. So yeah, next Sunday, business meeting. All members, please show up. If you're not a member, you're invited as well to come to our annual business meeting to learn about the kind of organizational aspects of the church, the leadership, the finances. There are big decisions that we have to make by electing a new leadership, by talking about major changes in our budget, by maybe deciding also joining a network of other churches, so big decisions. Continue to pray for discernment, for wisdom, and please show up and be part of this process. tonight at 7:30 on Zoom. You find the link online. You have also received it through the midweek update and your invitation as a member. Yeah, I want to dismiss us with this benediction here from Thessalonians. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Jesus Christus selbst aber, unser Herr, und Gott, unser Vater, der uns liebt und uns in seiner Gnade ewigen Trost und sichere Hoffnung schenkt, ermutige eure Herzen und gebe euch Kraft zu jedem guten Werk und Wort. Amen.